is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, the primary election tomorrow, and wrapping up our series of candidate interviews, looking at a number of different races. Joe Ray Perkins, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
So just remind folks, we've talked before in past years, but if people aren't familiar, talk about your background, your career, some of the things you've done in the course of your life.
Okay, well, I live in Albany with my husband, George, of 44 years. Grandmother to 11 youngins from the age of 8 months up to 21 years old. My background has been in financial services industry as a financial advisor, banker. I've been in the insurance industry, real estate agent. I've also worked in education at Oregon State University. I've worked in medical offices, worked in retail. I've got just a huge, varied background.
And talk about your work out in the community.
So I have, up until the time that I was I wasn't asked to resign. They kicked me off of the Human Relations Commission in Albany. There's a story behind that. If you want to know, we'll go into that later. But I also served on the board of the Albany Visitors Association for, I don't even know how many years now. Was the volunteer coordinator for the Northwest Art and Air Festival, going back to the Legacy event for 29 years. Served on the March of Dimes here in Albany as the area coordinator. Was on a member of the Greater Albany Rotary Club. I'm a member of the Linn County Republican Women, an alternate delegate for the Linn County Republican Central Committee, and past chair of the Linn County Central Committee.
And you've sought office. Talk about the other campaigns or other offices you run for.
So most recently, I was the nominee in 2020 to unseat Senator Jeff Merkley. And in that general election, well, in the primary, I won all 36 counties, which is not a normal event to happen, especially in a multi-candidate race. There were four of us, and I received more votes than any other candidate in all of Oregon's 36 counties. In the general election of November 2020, I received more overall votes than any other previous U.S. Senator candidate in Oregon history. Percentage-wise, number two in percentage.
And this time around, trying to get the Republican nomination for the Senate, what brought you into this race?
Well, the same thing that brought me into the other ones. I know this is what I'm called to do. And I did not hear God say stop. And with the momentum that we built and the name, statewide name recognition that we built upon, and where our country has taken a nosedive in the last 2 years, or just let's say a year and a half, I can't stop fighting to one, help to save our nation and our state.
What do you think you bring to the table in this race?
I bring to the table a no-nonsense, no-compromise attitude. Everybody that is elected to office and appointed in many positions take an oath of office to uphold and to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. In my opinion, if a elected person votes on a bill that is unconstitutional, they just violated their oath of office. We can no longer do that. We've got to stop compromising. Compromise has put us where our nation is today, which is on the brink of collapse. And we've got to have people that have the guts to stand up and say, we have to do the job according to the Constitution and not what people want it to do. And we need to make sure that we are putting America ahead of other countries.
What are the key issues that you're focused on in this race?
Well, what I just stated, that's an issue. The compromise, we just can't do it, and too many people compromise. So to me, that's huge. Election integrity. I've been part of the Oregon election integrity team, although I've been focused on my campaign, so I haven't been able to spend as much time as I would personally like to do on uncovering some of the anomalies in the election. But that is huge. If we do not make sure that our elections are 100% safe and secure and that every legal vote is counted exactly as the voter intended, as they marked it on their ballot, we're done. We have to make sure that every vote counts properly. And so that is huge. It doesn't matter. If we can't get that under control, the rest of it doesn't really matter at that point. Other issues that are important. I'm a very pro-life candidate. I don't support abortion at all. I'm 100% pro-life, and that's huge to me. Every life is important. Term limits are huge, and that's a long-term challenge that we've been facing, and we'll get there eventually. Education is huge. We need to stop the insertion of critical race theory in our education. The way we do that from the federal level is to start with eliminating the Department of Education. It's not constitutional for it to be there, and it is a state/local issue, not a federal issue. So we need to make sure that's done. We need to secure our borders. Take a look at what's going on down in Southern Oregon with the narco slavery. A lot of people might not know that term, narco slavery, but those are people that are brought here by the drug cartels working on the illegal marijuana grows. And yes, we quote unquote, as Oregonians, voted to legalize the marijuana grows, but there are illegal marijuana grows. And they've brought people up here. They don't know anybody. They speak no English. They know nothing. And they are in squalor. And then the crime that is taking place and the human trafficking. So we've got human sex trafficking, drugs coming into our country because of the open border. We have to secure the borders. And then our natural resources management. Let's get that back to local control, where people that are local are able to get on top of fires, make sure that the forests are properly maintained to reduce the size of the wildfires.
Talk about your valuation of the U.S. Congress. When you look at the House and the Senate, what are your thoughts?
I'm like a lot of Americans. If we could vote the majority of them out, I would. Unfortunately, we can only vote for the people that are on our ballot. And again, I think that too many of them have violated their oath of office, and they need to stop looking at what's in it for them. And start doing the right thing. I don't understand what so many of them are doing and why they're doing what they're doing, but it's not right. When we have members of Congress vote to send a total of $14 billion to Ukraine, after they've already told President Trump that there was not $15 billion available to secure the border and properly build the fencing along the border, we have a problem. It makes no sense. They're more concerned about a foreign country than they are about our own country, and that is wrong. They need to focus on our nation first.
What do you think the biggest issues nationally Congress is facing?
Wow, that's a good question. To be honest with you, I don't know. There's so many issues right now. Just a couple weeks ago, Biden put out to be looking at food shortages. Why are we having food shortages? Well, let's go back and ask why in the world did the U.S. Department of Agriculture tell the farmers that they would pay them more money to plow their fields under and not produce the food? Why are they creating this crisis? Why are they allowing this crisis to be created? What about fuel prices? That's huge. They should be telling Biden, no, we need to be drilling. Stop with this stopping of the drilling. We need to open up the Keystone Pipeline, get that back online, and allow the drilling up in Alaska. This is costing, so I guess the biggest challenge is inflation. When you stop and look at it, they're down in Stockton, California, I heard last week they're paying over $7 a gallon of gas. And friends, it's coming to Oregon. Oregon typically has very high gas prices in comparison to the rest of the continental United States, excluding Alaska. This is costing families way too much money. Our food prices are skyrocketing. Pretty soon, people are going to be having to make some tough decisions. What are they going to do? Are they going to put food on the table? Are they going to put gas in their tank so they can go to work? Or are they going to pay their bills? What are they going to do? It's literally coming down to that for too many Americans. And I put that right at the feet of Biden and his administration.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Joey Perkins, Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate. The interview of podcasts after 1 at 541radio.com. Back in a minute on Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1, Peter Greenberg with Eye on Travel at 4. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, the administrator for the city of Myrtle Creek, Lonnie Rainville, talk about things going on in the Myrtle Creek area, Myrtle Creek city government, more on Inside Douglas County. Joey Perkins, Republican candidate, seeking the nomination to go up against Ron Wyden in November. As we look at some of the issues, talk about your thoughts about the federal budget deficit right now.
They need to stop spending. I mentioned a little bit about sending $14 billion to Ukraine. Now we're sending replacement troops, quote unquote, to Ukraine, 10,000 troops. That's not free. That costs money. They need to stop putting money into areas that we cannot afford. And I want to put this into a little perspective. If you go on to usdebtclock.org, you'll see that the government is $30 trillion, over $30 trillion in debt. Now, most of us cannot even fathom $1 million, but I'm going to use $1 million. Kyle, if I give you $24 million every day to spend, it would take you 411 years to hit $1 trillion. We're over $30 trillion in debt. We are on a budget this year of over $4 trillion at the federal level. They're not bringing in that much money. The country is technically bankrupt.
So what do you do to change that?
You start cutting back drastically. And we're going to have to. You and I don't have an open credit card where we can just spend money to our heart's content just because we want to. At some point, if we rack up our credit card debt, we're going to have to pay the piper. The bill is going to come due. Well, the bill is coming due at the federal level, and it is affecting every single one of us. That is part of the inflation that is going on, and they keep pumping money into the economy, and all that does is it drives the prices up. And it's not good. So the only way to do that is to stop raising the debt ceiling and to start cutting back on these agencies. The way that government funding works, and people, if they listen to the city councils and the county and the state, mostly you hear it from the state, but the federal is no different. Oh, they cut our budget back by 20%. No, they wanted a 20% increase or a 30% increase, and they got a 20 or 10% increase. So if they put in a budget increase of 30% and only got a 10% increase, that's called a 20% budget cut. No, you got a 10% budget increase. But they don't tell people that. They're saying, oh, they cut our budget back. I'm talking cutting the budget back. Just like businesses do, work on a short-term projection. What is your cost today? What is it going to take in the next 2 to 5 years to replace aging equipment? Put that into the budget so that it can be properly set aside so that when it's needed, it's there. And the government is a business, and it needs to be run like a business.
You mentioned your thoughts on the Ukraine. Talk about U.S. defense policy overall and what direction you'd like to see things go.
There is so much corruption globally and our government is no exception. There's a verse in the Bible that says, take the plank out of your own eye before you take the speck out of your brother's eye. In other words, don't call them out on it until you fix your own problems. We're busy running around the globe trying to fix everybody else's problems. In the meantime, we've got massive problems here at home. We need to fix those first. We should not be intervening in other nations. They need to figure it out for themselves. I'm not going to go into some of the details on Ukraine and Russia and what I believe is happening at this time, because there's too many stories going on out there that are pointing the finger in multiple directions. I just know that we should stay out of it and let them figure it out. And that means any money that we are spending over there.
Talk about your views on federal forest management.
So the federal government, if I read the Constitution and understand it correctly, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 says the federal government can own 10 square miles, which is Washington, D.C. Any other land that they own has to be sold to them by the states. Then they can own that land. Based on information from people that I know and trust, the only property that the federal government owns legal title to is Crater Lake National Forest. So they really should not have any control over the federal forests. We need to take care of those forests. We need to get in there and clean them up. The U.S. Forest Service has said, hey, we can't afford to keep the forest roads open. We can't keep them maintained. Great. All this underbrush is growing, as we all know. Forest fires start. They have to get the roads cleared just to be able to get out to the fires. The second problem is that we have a governor who has not ordered the air tankers immediately to get out there. First, they have to figure out, is it forest land or is it state land? In the meantime, the fires are growing. I don't care until we get the land back in our hands. I don't care whose land it is. Get on top of that fire immediately. We'll figure out who owes who later. But we've got to get in there and take care of those forests to stop these forest fires. And that is a renewable resource, but we're letting it burn up. And it's not right. Not only is it devastating to with the pollutants that it puts out in the atmosphere, on average over 200 different animals are killed in a square acre of a forest fire. It takes years for those forests to regenerate, depending on how hot those fires burn. And then we lose all that valuable timber.
You mentioned education earlier. Expand on that a little bit in terms of what you would like to see the federal government do or not do in the area of education.
The federal government needs to get out of the education business. It's not in the Constitution. We, the people, need to take it back. In Oregon, the governor is the superintendent of schools. Unfortunately, that was voted in by the people, not realizing that in that election, it made the governor the school superintendent. It said that the governor shall appoint the superintendent. I remember that bill being there, and that's how I personally read the bill. Well, we need to get that out of the governor's hand. We need to go back to voting for our school superintendent. What they are doing to our children with these mask mandates, the psychological damage that they're doing to our children is unconscionable. What they're teaching to our kids right now, if people really knew what they are teaching to our young children, they would come unglued. And so parents and grandparents, you need to know what they're teaching your young children and grandchildren, what they're teaching them about transgender and about being gay. And we're talking about heinous things at 5 years old. It is what they're telling these kids is straight out porn, and it is against the law, and it needs to stop. And there's a lot of people that are pulling their children out of the public school system, and it is costing those schools dearly, at least $10,000 per student per year. So we need to get back on top of our education system. And if you can homeschool, set up a homeschooling pod. They've popped up all over the state. We need to work on changing the laws in Oregon. 3% of the students can be per school district can be in charter schools. That's ridiculous. Why do they do that? Because they want them in the public indoctrination system.
have about a minute left here. Other Republicans are running. What makes you, or what do you think makes you stand out?
What makes me stand out, besides having run a statewide race and having statewide name recognition, I do not rest my laurels at all on that. I am 100% a constitutionalist. I will vote no on any bill that is not clearly constitutional, and it doesn't matter to me who sponsored the bill. It doesn't matter. We have got to stop compromising. I will negotiate where negotiation makes sense, but I will not compromise on the Constitution. Will not compromise on my own core values. I am 100% pro-life. Life begins at conception. For people that are looking at the Oregon Family Council Voter Guide, they'll notice I did not answer the first question on life because the way the question is posed, I would be pro-choice, and I'm not pro-choice. I'm 100% pro-life. Perkins for U.S. Senate.vote.
Joway Perkins, candidate for U.S. Senate, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you much. Have a great day.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.